Wow. You guys remember, who here is old enough to remember Coy Trammell's Word of the Week? A few of you guys. There you go. Some leaders. There we go. Okay, good. Well, those of you who are new to Velocity, you missed out on some great fun back in the old days when I would each week come up with a word. Me and Kevin and some guys would film some videos, and you got a little taste of that, so that's pretty exciting. You guys excited? You guys seem like tired. I like the Red Sox guy, I'll be honest. I'm a Red Sox fan. There you go. Uh-oh. Whoa, okay. Wow. That's exciting. Okay. Well, who here's met me before? Some of you, a few of you? Okay, well, if you don't know, again, my name's Coy, and my wife Sarah is sitting back here, and I'll be working with you guys a little bit more. I'm working on doing some different outreaches stuff with the skate park and the radio station and different stuff downtown, and so I'm going to be coordinating with Kev and getting some stuff done, so hopefully you'll get to see me some more, and hopefully we'll get to work together. But hey, I wanted to let you guys know, some of you guys know that my wife's pregnant, but I just thought I'd let you guys know. We just found out yesterday that we're having a girl. A girl. You guys like girls? That's good. I feel like by letting you know, you guys know me a little bit more. You guys can come up and tell me interesting facts about yourself later on if you wish. But that's something kind of interesting, kind of exciting for me. This water's like freaking me out. It keeps moving around. But okay. All right. Now, how many of you guys have trouble waking up in the morning? A few of you? Yeah, most of you. You know, your mom and dad, they have to pull you out of bed. They have to, like, drag you. You have to reset your alarm, like, 16 times in order to get out of bed. I can kind of relate to that. And I actually heard something interesting. I was watching the news a couple days ago, and I watched the news about this group of people that have this condition where they sleep, like, 23 hours a day. They, like, wake up for 1 hour every single day, or they'll sleep for weeks at a time. They'll sleep and they'll sleep past, like, you know, their friend getting married. They'll sleep past, like, their grandma dying. They sleep through their whole life, pretty much. And nobody can figure out why they can't wake up. They just constantly have the urge to go to sleep. And they all of a sudden notice awake out of it. And they'll sometimes go for months at a time being normal, but then all of a sudden fall back into that routine of having to fall asleep all the time. And that's pretty amazing. That's kind of weird to me. And I think, you know, Kevin Guido, he has like a mild form of this disease. I think he out of any person in this, like, that I've ever known, has the most difficult time waking up ever out of anybody I've ever known. He'll always go to sleep. Now, he'll be in the office, and he'll just be like sitting at his desk like, I'm so tired. In school of ministry, he was known for, like, the guy that sat in the back, and, like, he had to constantly drink Mountain Dew and eat Skittles in order for him to stay awake. That's the type of guy he was. He cannot stay awake. And in fact, I used to live in the same apartment complex with Kevin and his wife Elena. And we, you know, at one point we had this fire alarm issue where, like, the fire alarm would, like, kind of go off in the whole complex at night, and we'd wake up and be like, oh my gosh, is a fire, are we going to burn down? I don't know what's happening. You know, I get freaked out. I jump out of bed as quick as I can. And, you know, I live on the third floor, so I'd, like, run down to my car as quick as I could and get out of the apartment. And that happened, and I went by and picked up Kevin the first time, and we're, like, driving around like, what in the world is happening? But then, you know, a couple nights later that happened again. Guess what Kevin did? Slept through it. The loudest possible, like, fire alarm in the world. He's just sleeping through it, like, he could be burning down, his whole house could be up in flames, and he would just go to bed. And that's very odd. I don't really... Oh, that happened to you before. Your house burned down and you slept through it? Okay, cool. Right. Okay. Oh, carbon dioxide, that's even better. Wow. That's exciting. Your parents didn't wake you up? Well, I don't want to say this. Maybe your mom doesn't love you. Okay. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Okay. Wow. No, she definitely loves you. Wow, tough crowd. Okay. Okay. One of my favorite things in life, though, is to wake up and feel rested. You know, when you finally feel like you've got enough sleep, you wake up and you're like, whoop, yeah. You can take on the world. You know, you're like, you're going to go run a marathon. You're going to go out. You're going to do it. You can accomplish anything. I love that. I love to wake up and feel like, all right, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. And it doesn't happen that often, but when it does, it's very exciting. I love for that to happen. And there's this sense of excitement each morning. You know, when you can take on the world, you can do something new. There's something exciting around the corner. Even though I may have messed up all day yesterday, even though yesterday may have been terrible, and now I've gone to bed, I wake up, and I have a new opportunity to do something different. I have a new opportunity to do things that I maybe haven't done before. And so that's exciting, and we get a fresh start. And I think that second chances are awesome. I love to get a second chance to do something better, to improve upon myself, to do something again that maybe I'd messed up before, but I knew get a new opportunity to try it again, to try to succeed at it. And that's why the Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. There's a refreshment to it. Oh my gosh, I get to do new. Even though I messed up, I get to try again. And who here likes the old school Nintendo? Yeah, some of you guys like that? Some of you like that. I used to really enjoy playing Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt and all those games. And my favorite part about it, though, is like to be playing and then to be like, oh, I'm doing terrible, and just hit the reset. I love that. I love that I could just hit the reset, start again. Okay, here we go. Doesn't matter how terrible I did before, I'm going to restart. And I love the fact there's a reset button on that thing. And some of you need a reset today. Some of you have come in, you know, and you've become sort of content. You sort of come in, and you're sort of doing the normal day-to-day things. Oh, it's time to go to velocity. And God's saying, let's try again. Let's try again. Let's reset. Let's have a new opportunity to do things better. And you've become, again, content with where you're at. You know, you've lost your desire maybe to come to church or to read the Bible or to really grow in Christ. And it sort of faded away over time. And now you find yourself sort of just going through the motions. And life for you maybe has lost some of its taste, the excitement. Maybe when you first got saved, you were super excited to come to Christ or come to church. Really excited to go to camp. Really excited to do things. Wake up, read your Bible. This is amazing. And then over time, you sort of lost that momentum, lost that motivation. And you, my friend, have fallen asleep. You've fallen asleep. Just as those people who've slept, you know, 23 hours a day, or Kevin will sleep in the middle of a work day. He'll just go to bed. Just like that. You've fallen asleep. And it didn't happen to you again. It didn't happen right away. It wasn't over a day or a month or maybe even a year. But over time, you've sort of fallen asleep. And maybe you used to read your Bible every day. You know, you'd be faithful. Here's your Bible. But then one day you stopped reading. You woke up and you're like, oh, I'm too tired. I can't read. And, you know, the next day comes like, well, I didn't read yesterday either, so I might as well not. You know, and then the weeks go by and you're like, man, I can't even remember the last time I read. And then you stop praying. Maybe you pray just before bed, or you pray before a test, or you pray before something important. But then all of a sudden you stop praying too. You stop reading. You stop praying. And all of a sudden you find yourself not wanting to do the things that God wanted you to do. And you find yourself fallen asleep, and you've become content with where you're at with God. And God today, He wants to call you out of that. God wants to call you out of that normal routine, and He wants to call you into something exciting, something new, something fresh that He wants to accomplish in your life. And as you see tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit about revival, or about reviving your senses to God, about stirring yourself up to do good things for God in order to prove that you love Him with your life. Okay, so tonight we're going to see a couple things. We're going to see the call to awake, to awaken ourselves, and to forsake. And we're going to see the call to participate and to dedicate. But we're going to pray. I'm going to pray real quick, and I'll pray that God would accomplish these things in us, okay? All right. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You are here with us. And God, as we open ourselves up to You, Lord, that You want to change us. Lord God, we want to be changed by Your word. Lord, we pray that You would just minister to us in a strong way, God. And those of us who, God, who've fallen away from You, who don't love You the same way we used to, Lord, who don't read Your word like we should or like we want to, Lord, we pray that, Lord, You would revive our hearts, Lord, our senses to know You again and to obey You. Lord, we know that life is all about You. It's about knowing You and worshiping You and living our lives for You. And Lord, we just pray that, Lord, You would call us back, those of us who've been distracted, Lord, who've got caught up in things like friends or school or circumstances at home, Lord. We just pray that, Lord, You would, again, revive us, call us back to know You again, Lord, in a deeper way, Lord, we thank you that, Lord, your mercies are new each day. Lord, we can find, Lord, you as we seek for you. And Lord, that you want to meet with us in such a strong way, Lord. So we just pray that you would speak to us by your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. All right. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bible. We're going to read verse 8 and 14. All right, Ephesians 5, verse 8 says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, and listen up, wake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Paul here in Ephesians 5, he's calling us, he's calling Christians to wake up. He's not speaking to the unbelievers. He's not speaking to people who don't know Christ. He's not speaking to people who've never come to church or who don't know about God. He's saying, those of you who are in Christ, wake up. Wake up. If you're a Christian, wake up and stop having fellowship with darkness or sin. He's basically saying, wake up and stop sinning. Wake up. It's time for you to stop doing those things that God has called you not to do. It's time for you to stop hanging around with those people. So stop being engaged in that activity. Wake up and walk in the light. For you are made light. That's what it says. So he says, walk as though this was true. You have been saved from your sin. Walk as though that's true. You have been called out of darkness. Walk as though that was true. You're no longer in sin. Do you realize that? You know that when you were saved, that God called you out of sin, that God made you completely new, and you no longer live in sin anymore. You have everything that you need in order to live the way that God wants you to live. God has given you everything at your hands and your fingertips in order to do exactly what he's called you to do. So he's saying, wake up out of your sin and stop living in darkness. That's what verse 14 says. Awake from your sin and Christ will give you light. So if you want to awake, if you want to awaken yourself, if you want revival in your life, the first thing you have to do is forsake your sin. That is to say that you want to stop doing it. You want to turn in a different direction. It's to say you want to repent from your sin. It's like, here's your sin over here. Here's what you've been doing. And you go in that direction. And then it's to say, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go the other direction. I want to do something different. I keep constantly going back into my sin. I keep constantly doing the things that God calls me not to do. But now, I'm going to wake up to the need to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go the other direction. I'm going to get rid of my sin. I'm going to have nothing to do with it. 1 Corinthians 15:34, if you want to, write it down, says this: awake to righteousness and do not sin. See, you awakening yourself and not sinning, they go hand in hand. For if you are awake, you're not going to sin. But if you say you're awake, if you say that you are spiritually alive and you want to do what God wants you to do, and yes, and let you continue to sin, it can't be true. It can't be the case. So if God's awakening you to the need to not sin, you must, you know, get rid of it. You have to get rid of your sin in your life. Okay. So along with this sin, along with this call to say, stop sinning, get out of the normal, there's this call to say, get out of the contentment, get out of your normal everyday routine. Maybe you are really comfortable, you know, you wake up every day, you go to school, or now in summer, you wake up, hang out, get on the computer, maybe, you know, go hang out with your friends, come to Velocity, blah, 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 normal, doesn't really matter. Maybe a lot of you are in that sort of routine. It's really easy to get there. But God, I believe, wants to call you into something different. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 1. Listen to what God says here. Okay, let me back up a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 1, the children of Israel, you know, the Jews, they were in captivity. You guys remember that? Kevin's going through Genesis, right? And the children of Israel, they're in captivity, or they're getting ready to be in captivity, and as far as what Kevin's going through. And they are delivered out of Pharaoh's hand. They're taken across the Red Sea, and they're then given a land to possess. God says, this is the promised land. This is all that you have. I've given it to you. And so they have to wander around for years, you know, wandering around. Okay, what are we going to do? Wander around the wilderness. And in Deuteronomy chapter 1, God tells them, enough's enough. It's time for them to stop wandering around doing the normal thing and to dwell in the land. Okay, let's read it. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 6. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey and go to the mountains of the Amorites, to all the neighboring plains, places in the plain, in the mountains and the lowlands, in the south and the sea coast, to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess it, the land which the Lord swore to your forefathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So what is God saying? He's saying, you've dwelt here long enough. You've been at the base of this mountain long enough. Go. Go and possess the land. He's calling them to say, I've given you more than this. You're hanging around with at the base of this mountain. I want you to go. I've given you a land flowing with milk and honey. A land that's amazing. All you have to do is go in. Can you hear God saying that to you today? He's saying, get up. Rise up. Take it all. I've given you the victory. I've given you all that you need. I've given it to you. All you have to do is take it. Maybe he's saying, stop hanging around with those people. What are you doing? Stop doing that thing. Stop disobeying your parents. Stop being involved in that sin in your life. Stop doing that. And all you have to do is go and take the land. Go and take all that I've given you. Why are you in the same spot that you used to be? Can you honestly look at your life, you know, a year ago, can you say that you've grown? You know, or maybe a couple months ago, can you say that you've grown in Christ? Can you say that you're a better Christian than you were? That you're more mature in Christ than you were before? So God's saying, go and take more. I've given you more. You know that God's offered you an abundant life. An abundant life. That means that he's given you an abundance of things, a lot of stuff. Everything that you possibly want, God has given you. He's given you victory over sin. He's given you the ability to live the way he wants you to live. So he's calling you out of sin, but you have to experience it. You have to do it. You have to take part. Okay. So first of all, we saw the call to awake and to forsake our sin. And next, we're going to see the call to participate. We have to participate. We have to dedicate ourselves. Okay. Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Again, this is the call to participate with God, to take part. How many of you guys remember when the extension tour came here? When you guys went over to the hub, you guys were there. Some of you were there. That was pretty exciting. And, you know, it was pretty actually terrifying for me because I remember when they were calling people out of the crowd to participate with them, you know, the people they wanted to jump over the motorcycle with. And at one point, everyone started pushing me out of the crowd in order that I would, like, go and lay down so this motorcycle could jump over me. And that was not something that I desired to do. I was like, you know, I was like, okay, I'm walking out. And then all of a sudden, someone else jumped down, and I was like, woohoo! And I, like, ran back because I didn't want to get run over by a motorcycle. I don't know. Maybe that's weird, but I just didn't want that to happen to me. And I was called to, you know, to participate in this action. And I was like, I don't want to do it. I was very afraid. And again, here in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to get a call to participate with God, to take part. Instead of just sitting back and letting God try to just do things in our life, and we pray, okay, God, do this, do this, do this. God's calling us to take action, to take movement, to go and to do it with him. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Now, sometimes when I first read this scripture when I was young, I was very confused by it. Because if you read it right off the top, it makes you think that you have to work for your salvation. Doesn't it seem like that? Verse 12, it tells us that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So it makes you think, oh, well, man, what do I have to do in order to be saved? What works do I have to do? What things do I have to try to do in order to get to heaven? And you start freaking out. Okay, man, I don't know what I have to do. But let's see how verse 12 and verse 13 work together. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And what? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Listen to that. It's God who works in you. It is God who accomplishes his will in you. It is God who does the good work. All you have to do is come together with him and participate with him. So if you are in need of maturity in your walk with Christ, if you're in need of growing more, of revival, God wants to give that to you. Do you know that? God wants you to grow. But you have to join with him. You have to work with him. And you have to do it the way that he said you have to do it. The way he set up. Now, has anybody ever read you probably haven't, but I'll ask anyway. An A.W. Tozer book. You guys have heard of A.W. Tozer? A few of you? Well, he's a really cool dead guy. I like him. He died a while ago, but he writes some amazing books. In one of his books, he told a story about a boy that I think that will help us, you know, understand what he's saying. He told a story about a farmer who had a son. And this boy, he would work the farm with his dad. And one day, his dad told him, hey, son, go out and catch us some dinner. Go out and catch us some fish. Well, you know, obviously the man was hungry. He needed his son to go and to help him out. And so the boy, you know, he goes down to the river. And he's like, okay, dad wants me to get me some fish. I'm going to go get some dinner. And he goes, he sits by the river, and he kneels on his knees. And he remembers from Sunday at church, he remembers that the preacher said, if you want anything, just ask God for it. So he goes, okay, I really need fish. I really need dinner. So he lays down, you know, and he starts praying. God, I really need fish. I really pray that you give me fish. And in the meantime, you know, the river is tumbling with fish. The fish are jumping around. They're just waiting for him to go and to get them. But the boy, you know, he stays there on the shore, and he continues to pray that God would give him fish. Lord, send me some fish. Now, is this boy ever going to catch fish the way he's doing it? No, he's not. God has given him the means to catch fish. All he has to do is, you know, take a stick, you know, take some wire or some string, you know, put a worm on the end of it, you know, plop it in the river, and all of a sudden he's going to catch fish. So all he has to do is go and get up and to take the things that God's given him and to go and to get the things that God has asked him to get. Now, a lot of us, we fall into the trap of saying, okay, now I want to do what God wants me to do. So, you know, you say, okay, God, do this for me and do this for me and do this for me. And all of a sudden, none of it's working because God's calling you to stand up and to participate. Stand up, grab the wire, grab the stick, and you're going to catch fish. You have to work with God in order to do it. So God has given you everything you need in order to mature in him. He's given you the Bible. He's given you your friends. He's given you prayer. He's given you all that you need in order to mature. So you have to get up now and to do it. You can't just sit there and pray that God would give you revival. You have to participate in it. You have to do it the way that God says it should be done. Okay, so what is that? How does God say we should experience revival? Let's listen. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 21. He says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So what is he saying? He's saying, when you obey me, when you obey Christ in faith, he'll reveal himself to you. When you obey him, when you hear God telling you not to do something, and then you just say, okay, God, I'm going to listen. When you start reading your Bible and you learn all the things that God wants you to do, and when you start applying those things, God will reveal himself to you. So when you obey God's word, you prove to God, you prove to the people around you that you love God.
that you want to do what He wants you to do. And then God will bless you by revealing Himself to you, by showing Himself to you. Now, some of you may be thinking, okay, now how am I supposed to obey all of God's word? There's so much of it. I can barely even read it, you know, parts of it in a week. How can I, you know, if I read it straight, you know, for a year, how much of it would I actually read? How can I actually do all of what God asked me to do? And it can become overwhelming to say, okay, I want to do what God wants me to do, because then you say, oh, there's so much. I can't even do all the things that God wants me to do. Well, let me encourage you. This is a very simple answer. All you have to do is obey when God asks you to. When you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you about doing something, you don't do it. When you read God's word and He shows you, this is you, you need to stop doing those things. Okay, I'm going to do it. And not just not doing things, but calling you to do something. When He says, okay, I want you to go and speak to your friends about how much, you know, I love them. And you say, okay, God, even though that's weird, even though it's difficult, even though they might laugh at me, I'm going to do it. Because I want to obey you. I want to listen to you. So it's simply to say you want to listen to God and you want to obey Him as He tells you to do things. Okay, so listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to when He tells you to do something, and then do it. Obey Him. This is your part. This is your part in your revival. If you want revival and you want to take part, you want to participate with God, you want to do it the way He's asked you to do it, this is what you need to do. Obey. Listen. Pray. And when you pray, don't just, you know, yammer off a bunch of words, but listen to God and allow His Holy Spirit to speak to you. And as He speaks to you, do what He asks you to do. And open up God's Word. Study it. Know it. Memorize it. And then obey it. And don't ever underestimate the importance of simply listening to God in your life. Just listening to God. And this is the heart of your walk with Christ. If you want to mature, if you want to grow, if you want revival, listen. Just listen to God and obey Him. Participate with Him. Okay, so we're called to participate. Not only that, we're called to dedicate. Dedicate. Now, the dictionary, this is what the dictionary defines dedicate. This is how it defines dedicate. To set something apart as holy, to commit yourself or your life to something. So you're called to commit yourself to something, your whole life to something important. So in order to have revival in your life, you have to come to a place of dedication to God. That's to say that you want to surrender yourself to God. You want to do what He wants you to do. You don't want to do what you want to do anymore. You want to live for yourself. You want to do what God wants you to do. It's to say, here I am, God. All of me is yours. All of me. All that I have. All that my hands can do. All that I can think. All that I possibly can achieve. All of it is yours. And I want to do what you want me to do. Not just this area of my life. Not just this thing or this, you know, part of my life, not just this day, not just Sundays, not just Wednesdays, but every day and every area of my life, God, is yours. And if you come to a place of surrender for God, that's when God will revive you, will cause you to really grow and to mature in Him. Okay, so you're called to dedicate your life, set it apart for God. It is Paul who said, it's no longer I who live, speaking of Paul, but Him, Jesus, who lives in me. Paul came to a place where he said, Jesus, I want you to live your life through me. I know that you died for me, and so I want to live the life that you have called me to live. And he surrendered to God. He's saying, I'm dead, and you're alive, and I want you to live. Okay, Romans 12, write this down. Most of you have heard it, but a super important verse, and I think just instrumental for you to understand. Okay. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, what? By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So Paul here is calling you to present your body to God. That is, present your whole life to God. Why? He says, because it's your reasonable service.
What does that mean? It means that it's in view of what God's done for you, in view of the fact that He died for you, in view that you are saved from your sin, in view of the fact that you have new life, that you have new possibility, you have everything new, you have been forgiven, been cleansed from your sin. In view of all that, live for God. It's the reasonable thing to do. It's only right. You know, I don't obey God because I believe that you know, He's going to strike me down with a lightning bolt if I don't. But because God has done such great things in my life, it's my joy. It's my purpose to obey Him. I love to obey Him because it's the right thing to do. It's the reasonable thing to do when I look at all the things that God has done for you, done for me. Okay, so present your body to God, present your life to God, and God will revive you. He'll transform you. He'll renew you. And He will allow you to prove what? His perfect will. Okay, so let's recap before we close. Number one, we're called to awake out of our contentment, awake out of our sin, and to forsake that sin. Forsake it and flee from it. Flee from it in our life. If there's something in your life that you are constantly struggling with, and you need someone to pray with, you know, I'm here, Nate's here, Adam's here, Chris is here, Kevin's here, and we would love to sit down and to pray with you and pray that God would allow you to have victory over that. Because that is the key to you growing in Christ, is to stop sinning, to flee your sin. Okay, so to awake, to forsake, and then we're called to what? To participate in our revival by responding to God in faith, by responding to God in obedience, by doing what God asks us to do. When God tells us to do something, we listen to Him. And number four, we're called to dedicate our whole life to Him. Presenting our whole body, our whole will, our whole purposes on this earth for Him. You guys understand? Capiche? Yes? Good? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we do pray, God, that You, Lord, would revive us. And the Lord God, that we would have a hunger to know You and to read Your word. Lord, we pray that You would mature all of us here, God. The Lord, a year from now, we could look back and say, man, I've matured so much. I've gone through so much. God, You have really grown me. And Lord, I just pray, God, that You would revive all of us in this place, God. Lord, You would spark anew the desire to know You in a deeper way, in a stronger way, God. And Lord, we just thank You that, Lord, You've given us all things in Christ Jesus, Lord, to live a godly life before You. And so, God, we just offer our lives to You. We offer our wills to You. We offer our hearts to You, our minds to You. And we pray, God, that, Lord, as we go out from this place, that, Lord, we would live a life that's pleasing to You. Lord, in our schools, when we start again, in our homes, in all those places, God, we just pray that, Lord, we would live lives that, Lord, that are pleasing, and the Lord, that You would be satisfied with. So, Lord, we just give You this time. We thank You that, Lord, You are amazing. You're awesome. We can sing to You. We can learn from You. And Lord, that You love us so much. And so we just give You this day. We give You this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Kev, you want to